Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is, of course, our new release show on One Heat Minute Productions. I'm joined by, I think, one of the best critics in the world, my favorite favorite critic, because he is able to blend really amazing insights from a person who clearly knows so much about cinema. And he can't help. He's almost like cheeky and this kind of like naughty boy that is in his heart that he just can't wait to like take something apart. So when he really doesn't like something or something confuses or perplexes him, it's almost more fun to read him than the things that he loves. But when he does love something, it's amazing. So we're on the perplexed side of that. So we're joined by my great friend Sean Burns to talk about Bradley Cooper's Is This Thing On? Sean, let's thank you, man, for being here, firstly. And
thanks for having me and the intro. I love. I wish you could go around and introduce me in life. Like I always say this.
I'll happily do it. As our friend Bill Gabiri said, I think you belong in Boston. There's something very Boston about you. I feel like we've got some kindred spirits there. Sports lunatics and cheeky people. And why don't you guys have a listen to the trailer for Bradley Cooper's Is This Thing On, and then Sean and I will react to the movie and to it with you.
Another one?
Yeah, why not?
All right, Alex Novak, downstairs in 2 minutes.
That's me.
Well, you better head down there then.
Where?
Just straight behind you, down the stairs.
Hey, what up, man?
How you doing?
Great. When you see the light, just get up, right?
Straight woman's experiences.
There you go. Like, just talk to him. Have fun.
Tell a joke.
I think I'm getting a divorce. What tipped me off was that I'm living in an apartment on my own. Yeah. And my wife and kids don't live there. That was probably the biggest clue.
Not exactly sure what happened.
Came home from work one day. Someone said, "Is this thing over?" Pretty sure it was her. They should have paid attention. That's what she meant about not paying attention.
The real relationship is finding somebody you can also be unhappy with. Somebody who has your back. We stopped having each other's backs.
But you tell jokes?
Well, I try. It's more like kind of funny stories from my life. And
oh, honey, what? I had no idea your life was this bad.
Yeah, what's funny about your life?
This is why she threw you out! Are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be okay. I'll be okay.
Okay, Sean, please tell me what you just said to me before we started recording. When this
Up after the movie, and I just turned to my friend and said, "I have so many questions."
This is one of, so if you can't get it from the trailer, Will Arnett is the main character, Alex Novak, in the movie. He and Laura Dern, Tess, have been together, a marriage seemingly good. She's a former athlete. He's a finance bro who they're together. They don't seem really happy. They've got two kids. Their kids seem okay. It seems like very superficially unhappy. They're in sort of this rote routine. They decide that they want to split very arbitrarily. And as a reaction, almost accidentally, Alex decides to wander into a stand-up joint in an open mic night and start talking. And is somewhat reinvigorated by this act of stand-up and this like nakedly honest thing that stand-up can be in sort of a storytelling moment. And so this is a catalyst for lots of different things happening in his life. It's like, does he get back together with his ex? Does he pursue stand-up as something that's serious in his career? What is it? Bradley Cooper, the maestro, writer, director of Star is Born, which is, he's amazing, director, writer, director of Maestro as well, which he did a fantastic performance, has some really, you know, high, exultant scenes. Plays a character named Balls in this, Sean.
It needed more balls.
It really needed more balls. It's a really strange movie. Like, I kind of was watching it going, like, I get everything this movie is doing, like, functionally and from a storytelling perspective. I kind of get what's happening, this, you know, almost like midlife crisis movie. But I don't know what I just watched when I finished watching it. It's odd.
Right, well, like, it doesn't feel like they finished writing it, or they finished writing it without knowing what the thrust of the story was.
Yes.
Because for an hour, it's about him discovering this world of stand-up and hanging out with the stand-up people. And then that's totally dropped.
It's just dropped on its head. And that stand-up bit, the stand-up part, it's kind of where the movie has the most juice, because he's not that great. And you would think of this incredibly in hostile, like, stand-up community, he would just be squashed and they'd just say, go away. But he's really embraced because they're like, oh, see, this guy's got some potential. He's got a unique voice. He seems to like be here, puts in the work. And it's got all this excitement. And then it's like the third act of the movie,
it's bizarre. And I mean, I don't think the stand-up stuff works that well either. I mean, it's just ridiculous that within what, like 2 weeks, he's opening for Dave Attell.
Yeah. That is when, if you're a stand-up fan and you see some of the murderers who are just wandering in this movie and helping him or just being there.
But they don't get any lines or jokes. Like, they introduce Dave Attell, he walks on stage, and they cut to the next scene. It's fucking Dave Attell. Let him tell one joke.
Let him tell
one. He went to the trouble of being in your movie.
Director Bowles, please, if you could just let Dave Attell say one joke. It's got like Peyton Manning in this movie as well.
Which is the most distracting thing ever, because Peyton Manning has so much dialogue.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think I get
Peyton
I get
Manning has more lines than Dave Attell.
A lot. I get the idea for the joke. It's like Laura Dern starts dating again. And what's this guy's like worst case scenario? He sees his wife out on a date and she's out with Peyton Manning. Which is funny if you did it like that. It would have been like the Brett Favre joke from Something About Mary. Except he's not playing Peyton Manning, first of all. He's like a guy named
I forgot about the Brett Favre joke until you just said it. Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite jokes of all time.
Brett Favre?
Oh, my God. Yes.
So anyways, he's playing Peyton Manning plays a guy named Laird who talks so much.
So much.
I mean, he just keeps talking. And it's Peyton Manning. He's not good at talking. There's other things he can do. But It's like that. There's so many baffling decisions like that. I mean, we should tell people like how the movie is shot, because it's so strange. Like every scene.
It's shot like the intro of, if anyone's ever seen, I know that some people, don't judge me for the reference, but this is the thing that it was most reminiscent of. If anyone had ever seen the show Louie, at the beginning of Louis, he would start or bookend every episode, much like Seinfeld, with, you know, but in a much more organic way, would bookend the beginnings and ends of the show of like these very claustrophobically shot sets, because he was shooting his bookends of the show in the Comedy Cellar in New York, which is not a big stage. And he'd have these sort of claustrophobic sets shooting that framed the episode. The entire film is this thing on, has that kind of claustrophobic kind of shot, like every opportunity to get right in the grill of every character and be like
on right top. And it's there, but he's always got this shot, it looks like he's in the back seat of a car, like yeah. when they're like on a bench, he's like behind the bench, and it's this really unflattering, like it's not the Michael Mann like over the shoulder, like your ear is going to take up half the frame shot, but it's like a couple feet back from that. But it's still sort of, I mean, not that Bradley Cooper has a worst side, but, you know, it's like, it's not a pleasant way to look at actors is from
there,
this like three quarter behind their head thing. And it's very jarring when it's so dialogue driven. I'm like, can I just look at you guys in a normal shot? And I mean, Cooper always like, you know, Maestro is full of all these screwy scenes where you're like, wow, you're shooting it like that? Cool, dude.
But also with Maestro, like, it's so funny. This is, and I, massive props, because like, I think Bradley Cooper, The Star is Born, is a brilliant film. I think he's excellent in it. I think he probably should have won an Oscar as an actor in that movie, because he's unbelievable. Maestro.
Hopefully lost to the guy lip syncing.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. let's not go there. Maestro was such a curio, but it did have that. Like I said, it's got these scenes in it that just kind of, there's some
yeah, well, there's like really like big visual ideas.
Yes.
That's like, I mean, he doesn't think like an actor director. Like he thinks he has visual schemes. And this one, it's clear this is his visual scheme to shoot everything like you're standing you're right too there. Close to them on the subway.
Yeah.
But I mean, none of it works. It's just unpleasant. It also, and there's no nice way to say this, it really shows off that the two leads are like 15 years older than the characters they're playing. You've got these two people in their mid to late 50s. And how old are their children?
The kids are definitely in primary school. Like, so definitely in elementary school. So you've got like, they look 9. But I've met people like that, Sean. That's the other thing. Like, I remember when I was... when I was younger, there was like these two next door neighbors. They were like these partying Brits. And they had their first kid. Both of them were 42. They had their first kid. And I just remember like they'd partied too long. They kind of looked like they both had a touch of the Keith Richards, you know, like even at 40. They were at like Keith Richards 40. And you could tell that they'd smoke too much and they'd party too much. But these guys,
well, I mean, that's like the, but all the friends they hang out with, I mean, also seem so much younger. You've got like Bradley Cooper, who's like just starting as an actor, and he's supposed to be his college buddy. And I'm like these guys, the Will Arnett's like pushing 60. Come on. Like,
yeah. And
it's just strange that, and they're still at the point where the college friends are kind of drifting apart. And it's like your kids would be in college by now.
Also, I want to shout out a great actor in this movie, Kieran Hines, who is just like good.
I didn't realize that was him.
I didn't realize it was Kieran Hines for the longest time. But then when I got, I'm like, oh, he's wonderful. Like whatever he's doing, whatever part he's got in this movie is great. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a strange, like, what is that? There's obviously this conflict with the dad that existed in another draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is just gone.
There's so many characters in this film.
I was looking at the list right now. So in the film, you got Will Arnett, Laura Dern, Bradley Cooper, Andrew Day. They're friends, and you've got the two kids played by Blake Kane and Calvin Neaton. And then you've got Sean Hayes pops up, Christine Ebersole, Kieran Hines, Peyton Manning, as we said. Amy Sedaris is in this. Jordan Jensen is in it, and she's fantastic in her brief moment. She's actually one of the highlights of the movie.
Yeah, she gets dropped like a...
She's the funnest.
The movie has no idea what to do with her after that one scene.
No, it's... Yeah. it's a strange, it's an odd duck of a movie. And then there's so many real comedians in the movie. Ton of them.
Yeah.
And no one.
Who don't really tell any jokes or just.
Well, they bust balls and they're kind of educating him, but it's not like he's not doing bits. They're not doing bits.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not doing, it's weird. He just gets up there and like blurts out. He doesn't work on his comedy at all. He just, whatever happened to him that day, he just says it. And the audience is like, oh, you're great. And it's like, well, no, this kind of sucks, dude.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. There was no progression. Like, mm-hmm. You can see bits forming of like, there's a bit here. Or maybe it's the way that it's cut. It's like, I really wanted to see him tell a joke. Like, or have a story that had
or to work on a joke, yeah. You know, craft the fucking joke and try it out a couple of times and then like finally refine it to a point where it kills. Like, if you're gonna make a serious movie about comedy,
that's what it is. That. You're just throwing it at the wall, yeah, constantly. And he clearly, like, like stagecraft wise and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, you wanted to see him bomb and be terrible at the beginning or maybe fluke one, because like that's usually what gets in amazing comics. Is like they do.
I was looking forward to this because the stage scenes in Star is Born are like the best performance scenes in a movie since The Doors, basically. You know, they're incredible.
And, yeah.
And this, it's just like you said, it's just the opening of Louis. It's just a super, I know it's a small space they're working in, but you know, I don't know. Zoom out, please.
Yeah. Like, and also, I kind of, and this is the kind of Bradley Cooper, he's got an interesting schemer he's working with. I thought that that claustrophobia, especially because we were only seeing it in trailers and things before you saw it, is like, I thought he was using that to show the pressure, right? Like to, as like a pressure cooker. And then as he got better, he's going to start giving him a frame. Like, it's almost like I'm right in your face, just like the audience must feel it. I'm going to give it to you. And it doesn't, he doesn't ever quite get beyond that. But then the movie forgets about the stand-up.
Yeah.
It then becomes about like, you know, kind of.
So
like,
what have I spent all that time looking at Will Arnett's Botox for? Why is your forehead smoother now than it was on Arrested Development?
So good.
I love how ripped he got for the movie, though, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's like, this is, it's so designed. Like, Bradley Cooper's like, you're my best friend. I'm going to make you the movie star that you never got to be. So Will Arnett goes and gets ripped. It's like Billy Crystal in Running Scared.
This is one ripped role. That's a good
lesson. And then he's getting up there and he tells all these jokes about having a dad bod. It's like, dude, we've just seen you with your shirt off.
Well, I don't really know what to say about this movie. It's a perplexing one. I'm going to keep watching Bradley Cooper movies. He's an interesting cat, and I think that he's a really good director. I don't know. This movie just doesn't totally click. It doesn't feel like they knew where it was going to go. And I think that at the core of the story, I think there were kind of conflicting tensions. It was like, are we going to tell a story about a marriage that's on the rocks and how people seek out their creativity or whatever, or, you know, what brought them together to kind of to reinvigorate their lives. But it kind of like it, the balance of this thing is just all over the shop.
All right. And I thought it was getting interesting when she sees him on stage.
Oh my God. When she sees him on stage, I'm like, now this is.
And he's doing, which actually happened to the real guy that this is loosely based on. And it's like, his wife fell in love with him again after she saw him performing. And it was like, well, that's interesting. Like, all of a sudden she's hot for him now that he's doing something else. And then they drop that too. And it becomes, will the yuppies get to the kids' school play on time?
It's
incredible that he never goes to work in this movie.
No, and he's in finance. And look, I'm a person who has a day job. And so there was a lot of relatability to me personally, looking at a person who's like, I have a day job. I have a family. I have responsibilities. I've got to play the dad. Not play the dad. I am the dad. You got to be the dad. But sometimes you have to go to activities and play the dad. And you want something, a creative outlet that can kind of like give you a spark and that gives you juice. And so I had a lot, like just on paper, I'm like, I should relate to this deeply. And
yeah, except he never goes to work. Afford like a swanky bachelor pad in the village, which.
And a brand new VW like van as a novelty.
did.
And parking in New York City every day and driving 40 minutes back and forth to the suburbs.
I love when they like throw it away. They're like, oh, he's in finance. Like, we just wanted to say something because we did. The character doesn't have a job, but we'll just say this way he has unlimited funds.
Yeah. It's one of those.
I mean, things. This is what happened. I mean, you know, they all wrote the movie together. These are people who have been rich for so long. They have no idea how to write regular people. Right? Like, it's a total affluenza. Ugh.
Yeah, it's very odd. And look,
I mean, we should say that like Cooper is hilarious as Balls. He's not in this movie. I don't know what movie he's in, but I wished I was watching it. Like he's out of like
the friend who's named Balls, who's like a terrible actor who like takes on the roles in like takes them so deathly seriously, even though they're the worst roles ever, or the bit parts or whatever. He's fun. I liked him quite a bit, and I do like.
He's like Simple Jack levels of stupid.
Oh
like,
my god, he's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
When he's got like it's the dumbest joke and it's the hardest I laughed in the movie when like Will Arnett has that picture of Laura Dern playing volleyball in his kitchen and the picture is of her back. It's her from behind spiking a ball. And Cooper's just like, you should turn it around so we can see her face.
And he's like, I can't just turn it around. And he's like, oh, they'll figure it out. Like, it's like that one friend who loves AI who's like, oh, they'll figure out a way to turn it around. It'll just look seamless. Sean, thank you.
I thought we could make things clearer for ourselves that we're just perplexed here.
Just getting, look, Bradley Cooper as a character named Balls. He's fantastic. And I think Will Arnett, that there's an engine in this movie. Like you said, there's this crescendo, there's this movement, there's something happening. And there's that kind of moment that is based from the real life person that this is based on, of his wife seeing him do stand up. And particularly in this movie, it's him telling a story without spoiling that his wife would not like very much him up there, and he's crushing while he's telling this sort. This particular bit is actually one of the more fully formed bits in the film, but it's just kind of all over the shop, this movie, and I just don't.
Yeah, you look and like finding out everyone involved as friends kind of made a lot of sense to me afterwards, because this is just with like a bunch of friends get together, let's make a movie, and you're brilliant. It's like you needed like some asshole producer,
yeah,
you and some and say, guys,
you needed some ruthless kind of person to smash on that. Well, I'm confused. I don't know what to say. I feel like the end of this one hot take is literally like, did someone put a question mark on the teleprompter? is this thing on? I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I certainly didn't like it. And
no, it's like not unpleasant to watch, but then like afterwards, it's just so annoying. Like the whole ride home, I was like, and another thing.
Yes, it's that. It's and another thing. It's you watch it. There are moments that are quite fun. It's interesting. And especially I'm charting it in my brain going, A Star Is Born, Maestro, is this thing on? I was just like this weird third.
Yeah, it's not getting better.
No, but at least with Maestro, the aspiration was so big. Mm-hmm. I was like, I like this guy. He is taking massive swings. But yeah, it's really odd.
And he does great voices in these characters. Oh, I love the funny Bradley Cooper voices. Like Maestro was great. He got two crazy Lenny Bernstein voices. He had the young one and the old one.
I love the old Lenny, crazy Lenny voice was my favorite, to be honest. That was so good. He was so good. And yeah, Star Is Born, like I said, I think he should have won an Academy Award for acting. No question. Yeah,
that movie is tremendous.
Tremendous movie. But yeah, is this thing on? I'm interested to see. I'm actually fascinated. Please reach out. Listen to this. Be more confused. Be more confused about whether you want to see it. And then get in touch with Sean and I on socials and interact. I'd love to hear what you think. I'm going to seek out more people's opinions of this movie and what they felt and particularly those who really drive.
Hey, what happened there? What do you think happened?
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm really interested to see, like, where if some people love it and or if some people detest it. And I want to see, like, how, where they left and right turned.
This might be tough because I don't think anybody's seeing it.
Yeah. Well, in Australia, it just got released. So, you know, as people are listening to this, there's preview screenings and it's popping up around the place. And
the hotbed of Will Arnett fandom in Australia.
Listen, there's a deep love of Job in this country, Sean. It runs deep. Like, you would be surprised the amount of Arrested Development DVDs that were sold in this country. There is a deep smartless, just simply from Arrested Development, now Smartless and those things. It's like, there's that. Bradley
Job is one of the funniest characters in television history. Like, Job and Franklin, I think.
My God, Job. I don't care for Job. Like, really, like, just, I love all my children, Michael. I don't care for Job. But, like, yeah, like,
a trick is something a whore does for money. This is an illusion.
This is an illusion, Michael. A trick is something a whore does for money. What a show. What a great show. But yeah, I'm just keen to see what people think of this thing. More keen than many movies. You know, sometimes a movie hits you, completely doesn't resonate, but this one, I'm like, exactly as you said, pleasant, but then like, what the hell did I just watch? And I wanted you to help me understand, and now we're both more confused.
Yeah, sorry, I'm no help here. I'm just...
No, he's always the best help. Sean Burns, I'll link Sean's writing about the film in the notes. Guys, thank you for listening. This has been One Hot Take, and we'll catch you. I'm sure Sean will be back for another one soon. We'll talk, hopefully, a less perplexing movie, something a bit more straight down the line. All right.